Hello, welcome to Adventures in Awakening. I'm your host, Amber. Thank you so much for tuning in today. I'm super excited to share this upcoming episode with you. I had the pleasure of interviewing Shaikha Maryam Kabir. So Shaikha Maryam authored the book, which is an award-winning memoir, A Journey Through 10,000 Veils, The Alchemy of Transformation on the Sufi Path. I was guided to this book and I just absolutely loved reading it. I knew I wanted to have her on the podcast. It's a book that I highly recommend you read no matter what your religion, no matter what your beliefs are, because, you know, it brings us back to love. So in this episode, she just shares a tiny bit about her journey and what led her to follow the path that she chose. I will tell you, during the interview, you know, we were on video, she's the most divine, loving presence. And so I hope that you feel that and you feel her words in this episode, because for me, it was very transformative and life-changing. And she is just someone who embodied love and following her heart and the oneness her entire life. At the end of the episode, she shares the most beautiful prayer. So I really hope that you stay tuned to the end and listen to the entire episode, because I just think that the interview is just a tiny bit of the book. And I, again, highly, highly recommend that you pick it up, listen to it, and, you know, reach out to her if you have any additional questions. Reach out to me. She is a Sufi master and a frequent speaker on Islam and Sufism. And this book was definitely life-changing for me, so I do hope you enjoy this episode. And again, thank you so much for tuning in. If you think that anyone, any friend, family member would benefit from listening to this episode or any of the episodes on the podcast, or you're really enjoying the podcast, please follow us, like us, rate us, give us 5 stars, and I appreciate you just sharing and spreading the love. Remember, everyone, when you awaken you, you remember you. Enjoy. Hello, welcome to Adventures in Awakening. I'm your host, Amber. Today, I am so blessed to be here with Shaikha Maryam Kabir. Hi, Shaikha. Welcome to Adventures in Awakening.
Thank you.
So before we go ahead and begin, the reason that you're on the podcast today is because I discovered you. I found your amazing book. I just ordered the new one, A Journey Through 10,000 Veils, which depicts your journey, your story, and how you landed exactly where you are today. And without giving the entire book away, can you share with the audience a little bit about your story, your path?
Sure. The second part of the title is The Alchemy of Transformation on the Sufi Path.
Yes.
So that's another dimension of the title. You have to go through doorway after doorway, but as you make the journey, you are being transformed into gold, hopefully. Though sometimes the fire is hot, it brings out the gold. Yes. The gold comes forth. The light shines through the transformative journey. And so I was born in Hollywood, California, and I was an actress at the age of 5, studying acting, doing a lot of painting, writing, sculpting. So I'm going to say that it was through the arts that I discovered the spiritual path that I needed to follow. That was my destiny. And but another point that I like to stress in a gentle way is that before we came into the world, we were in another world. Mm-hmm. We call it in our tradition the world of souls. Okay. So I have had memories from the time I came on earth of that realm, that mysterious, vast, blessed realm. The divine presence, the realm of the divine presence. Uh-huh. And according to our teaching, it says that we were all assembled in the divine presence, and we were asked by our beloved Lord, "Am I not your Lord?" And we proclaimed, "Yes, you are. the sovereign ruler of all. So this was a pre-existing to this world experience that I just have not forgotten. I feel it as the very depth of my spiritual existence is that I am in the presence of God, and God is asking me about our connection, and I'm with many others. So what I call this in my journey is the spiritual assembly. Mm-hmm. This is an awareness of the spiritual assembly that starts before we come into the world. Then you meet people day by day that you feel absolutely connected to. And very likely it's because we were together in that dimension, mm-hmm. in that profound, holy dimension of consciousness. So because this was with me, I was step by step like awed, in a state of awe and joy, happiness, bliss, you can say, just because God was near. And I felt it. So at the age of 12, I was acting in a theater company called Alley in the Valley, Alley Theater in the Valley, San Fernando Valley. So I had gone there to audition, and they just said, absolutely, come on in, come on, join us. And I surely did. So we would be doing all kinds of plays. I played many roles. But in the course of this experience, this opening, someone gave me a scroll. He was the assistant director of the company. And it said, seek and the truth shall make you free. And it was an ancient man walking, you read about it, mm-hmm. on a journey with staff and lantern. And at the bottom, it said those words. So when I saw it, I knew that I was not just like a 12-year-old girl in junior high school acting in San Fernando Valley. The ancient seeker was me. Mm-hmm. I identified with that much more than anything that I knew that I saw in this world here. But I did my part. I played my part. I did happen to skip the sixth grade and the 12th grade for some reason that I cannot explain. But I think I didn't need to stay there any longer in that world. Mm-hmm. However, all throughout that period, racial equality was a very major theme in my family and for me. I did meet Reverend Martin Luther King Jr., peace be upon him, and felt immensely connected to the mission mm-hmm. of the people seeking for racial equality, human equality. And my dad would sing songs on our trips every weekend we traveled. And the song that I remember is, if we could consider each other a neighbor, a friend, or a brother, it could be a wonderful, wonderful world. It could be a wonderful world. Oh, yes, it could be a wonderful world if there were no poor and the rich were content. If strangers were welcome wherever they went, if each of us knew what true brotherhood meant, it could be a wonderful world. Oh, yes, it could be a wonderful world. So this was early teaching, very early and very deep. And I resonated with it immensely, you know. And I was eventually guided around the world so many times to the most amazingly blessed places and people. And everywhere I was never accepted as a stranger. I was never treated as a stranger. They never thought, never asked me, are you an American girl from America? They just felt that I was integrally related to them as I felt. You know, so the early part of the external journey was through many different countries. I did not have a bed to sleep on or a place to live or anything like that. No computer, no phone, no Expedia, just carried by the grace of God. And there was a poem that came from Rumi to me early on that said, when you're traveling on a train, put your bags down. You can't carry them. You are being carried. That's what I felt. Mm-hmm. And I was on a train going to, it was called the Orient Express. I was on that famous train, the Orient Express, and I was watching these the incredible formations of clouds and light and divine grace manifesting on the outside the window, but it was more or less pouring into my heart. And I had certainly put my bags down. And so that whole part of the journey, I did not carry anything. I may have had a little money in my pocket, which may have been given a little bit more as I needed it, but I had no material wealth, nor did I have any home. And I was asked later on in Washington, D.C., at a kind of elevated gathering, a gathering of high level people in the sense of worldly positions in the field of knowledge. And they asked me, were you not afraid traveling like that? I said, no, I was not afraid, because I felt the divine presence embracing me and in really enclosing me in the grace, you know, surrounding me. And so later on, when I was feeling the light of Islam all along, what that really means, this is not a separate religion. It's not my religion better than yours. Light of Islam means, or the path of Islam means the path of peace. Mm-hmm. Salam is peace. So I was feeling that. And when I came to more formally accept it or embrace it, the word I always use was embrace. I was embraced by it and I embraced it. I never say convert or revert. That just doesn't resonate as being accurate. So in any case, the first part of the journey was incredible for I don't know how long, maybe it was a year, I don't know. You know, and I was beginning on trains, and I didn't know that you need to have a reservation for second class, even second class seat. So I didn't have a seat. I stood by the window, by the door, open door, no window on the door, the open door, and the wind was blowing in. I could hear the singing of the praise of the people, you know, and that resonance went on throughout my life. It was in different languages, possibly using slightly different words, but the fundamental words are the same. And so the main thing is the experience of the lovers of the one and only God expressing their gratitude and love and receptivity to the descent of his grace upon us. So from that time, I was certainly feeling it even before. When my father sang those songs, I always felt the same thing. That grace that descends upon us, which makes us love all lives as our own. And this is a very deep Sufi teaching. This is the essence of Sufism. So what happened is, in any case, you know, I was guided from one mystical dimension to another on this journey. And I couldn't possibly go through the whole book in 45 minutes.
Right.
So, yeah, I'll take maybe a little break here and you can ask me some.
Yes. Yeah, so one of the things that I resonated with in the book was as a child, you were very curious. You always had that deeper knowing. Like, I didn't belong in my family. I didn't. There's questions out there that I have, which resonated with me. I think any spiritual person, when they're going along their path to awakening, has that curiosity about it. So what occurred for you from the time you were given that scroll until you began your journey that was like, okay, this is why I'm going to go travel. I'm going to explore a little bit more. Was there something else that happened, or did you just feel called very much in your heart to go?
Everything that happened was a part of the journey, step by step, and dream by dream. Mm-hmm. Revelation internally, you know, by revelation. It led me to the revelations that descended upon the messengers that they brought to mankind. So I was living in that realm, you know, and still I am living in this realm, right? So it's not that I've come to appreciate my family very much, whatever I may have said at that moment. And I even said it there. My stepmother's father had said the most mystical things, that he wrote them and spoke them and manifested them. And so did they, you know, My brothers were both artists also. So the family and I were resonating, but I had other dimensions to realize. Interestingly enough, however, wherever I went in the world later on, very often my father and stepmother would come join me there in monasteries with the great spiritual masters. They would always respond to that call. And then later on, they would always welcome everyone into the house. At the end, for several years, they had a house in Santa Barbara, beautiful. And Sophie filled the house with stained glass windows. And Lenny planted succulents and flowers everywhere. And the whole place was like turned on, you know, a garden, a bloom. And the people of God kept coming into the house. Everybody knew that it was a holy place. And then towards the end of his life, my dad asked to go to the tomb of Sheikh Bawa Mohiyeddin, radiallahu anhu, my very wonderful Sheikh. And so he had had strokes and could barely move. It didn't matter. Sophie said, sure, let's go. She got him on the plane. He got in the mazar is very maybe an hour away from our house here. And so we got there and he laid down on the ground and was so peaceful, so joyous, really went to sleep and then came up, eventually woke up and said that he had had such a beautiful journey and seven more years had been added to his life. And during those 7 years, the sheikhs and the holy people would come to the house so often and make the proper prayers for him, deep, deep prayers for him. You know, I pray that he got the benefit of it. And he did have some really great dreams towards the end. But in any case, I'm saying that only to say that they were part of it, you know. Yes. And yet, I had to go beyond where they were, mm-hmm. you know. And so you're saying, like in that period, I went to Berkeley at the age of 16, UC Berkeley, mm-hmm. and I met someone named Daniel Moore, who was eternally a very mystic being. He was a great poet, a great soul. And so we just connected immediately, completely, pretty much, you could say that. And we started a theater company that was very beautiful and transformative to all of us. So we did that for a certain number of years. I played a number of roles there and kind of flew across the stage, carried once again. And I also learned about through acting about communion, because mm-hmm. when you're, and that's why when I make any kind of Zoom, I want to see the person. Mm-hmm. I don't want to just give a talk and look at a wall. We have to communicate, mm-hmm. share. And so by looking out at the audience, I felt so much love for the people in the audience, like I do whenever I speak in any public, you know, assembly. And so that was happening, you know, that was part of this transformative time. I also dreamt a lot. I did a lot, was in solitude for a significant amount of time. And then I just got up, time to go. And I knew I was leaving the consumer world behind. Mm-hmm. I made a copy of my drawings and dreams and paintings and made books and left them with my family members and close friends. And because I said to myself, I do not know if I will return. It was like the legacy that I could leave there. So I did. And then, as I said, I got on the Orient Express and traveled, you know, out into unknown lands. But very much I felt connected with every place I was. You know, I'm more or less someone from an ancient realm than modern. Mm-hmm. Nothing about the modern world
right.
is that relevant, except the living beings that you meet here every
yes.
day.
Yes.
Every day, including in the supermarket, people have been so responsive, the cashiers and so many people everywhere. The people of light respond to the light, and yes. everybody wants to embrace. And I do, I really do love to share the light. So in any case, I was out there walking around the world, you know what I mean? And then on trains, but I was first in Afghanistan, I believe. If you read the book more recently, you know the timing better. But what struck me when I came, I was got from the more modern type of vehicle to the ancient buses of Afghanistan. So I was just guided, get on this bus now. And I got on the bus filled with bells, tassels, and ancient people in robes and turbans. And bouncing along with all of the bells ringing. And then in the middle of that, and beautiful people having tea with each other, sharing, very, very different than what you think about Afghanistan now, what we may think, because industrialism, the imperialism, not industrialism, imperialism setting its heavy foot down on the land. But that was before that time. It was pure as I could see it. And then I heard what's called the call to prayer pouring into the bus. And every time it was a time of prayer on any bus in that area, the call to prayer would be sounded, resonating through the land. And then the bus would stop, and absolutely everybody got off with their prayer mats, put them out in the desert to pray. So that was so deeply moving to me as a part of, as a revelation of my life journey, because at every time of prayer, you stop and pray. And whether you're alone or you're in community, you know, but for everyone, including myself, to be praying in that congregation was so blessed and peaceful and deep. And later on, like around 9/11, people would tell you, it would be very, if you see people praying like that, beware, you're in danger. But for me, it was the deepest, most pure and peaceful and, you know, encouraging assembly, sustaining. God's grace was present. And also the message itself, when you're on a journey, stop and pray. Every time that you hear that call, stop and pray. And I later found, as I traveled more and studied more, that when the salat or prayer in Islam was revealed to humanity as a gift, it was the same time as the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam ascended into the divine presence. These two things are connected directly. And so, and also the Prophet, peace and blessings be upon him, said, prayer is the ascension of the believer. So the continuation of my journey constantly showed me this, but it took time. You don't understand this all at once. So it took time and transformation on the holy journey to realize this, you know, the stages of awakening, as you say, very much relevant stages of awakening. Like, and we call it in Arabic, it's called maqam, maqamat. So every maqam, every station, you understand sometimes the very same thing in a different way. Because you have been transformed by your journey.
Yes.
So it happened like that, that, you know, this period of pure travel, where I was on trains, I didn't have, neither did I have a place to live or anything else. I didn't even have a bed to sleep on. And then one day I saw this luggage rack open up, you know, get cleared up. And I just put my sleeping bag down and sat there. That was the first place I could sit.
Wow.
And I would sit, and I felt like an ancient, what they call sadhu in India. In India, it's called sadhu. You know, like, and it's called, it's about a person who has nothing fundamentally but God, but the love of God. You know? So I felt like that, and nobody ever questioned it at all. No one said, what are you doing here? And are you from America? Never. That was not the point. And so it says, my father would say, strangers were welcome. May strangers be welcome wherever they go. I was that person. I experienced it. And eventually when I was guided to Shikbal Mohayadin, peace and blessings be upon him, what he said almost more than anything else is, you must love all lives as your own. So yeah. This is inherent in my life journey from the time before I was born into the family that I came, and then on the holy journey as it continued and continued to unfold into many different dimensions. So what I'm going to do now is ask you to ask me so I can focus on what part of the story shall we go to next.
So what I wanted to say real quick is that the one consistent thing in the story, which you follow, is your heart. You have, I mean, you share several examples in the book of, like, you would just go in the woods for days, no food, no nothing, and just completely be at peace with yourself, to where, you know, that would scare me. That, but you have that, you followed every little whisper of your soul, which so often we just don't do. I mean, even the simplest of things, of thinking of that friend you haven't spoken to in a while, and then, you know, the whisper is telling you to call, but you don't because something else comes up or you get distracted. It's just affirmation in this book that you followed all those whispers, you followed the voice, and it led you to where you are today. And I think that, you know, you share in the book, you've said here that you're always were welcomed, you always felt a peace. And I think part of that is because you embody such love and light, and the words in the book, the vibration that they carry must have been felt by all the people around you. As you sit there being love and light, them fully feeling that and accepting you and being drawn to that. So what I love about the book as well is, no matter what religion, no matter what your belief is, you're going to love that person. And I feel very much the same way. And I think that's why I'm so, you know, even in all the differences and not knowing each other, you know, this so calling to reach out and to connect, because the world needs to hear that right now. Yeah. There's so much separation, and that's not what we should be doing.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So can you kind of continue on your story a little bit? I mean, you've traveled. How many countries have you been to? You've traveled quite a lot, and you're doing the work and spreading the love. So can you kind of just share almost where you're at right now, or some of those adventures along the way to...
Sure. Well, I'll go to Palestine, or we can call it Israel, but it's whatever. You mm-hmm. call it, it's that place that I, as a Jewish girl, was guided to. I went to Jerusalem. We'll call it Jerusalem, which would ultimately mean a place of peace, which it needs to be. Mm-hmm. And I was guided there amongst many other steps of the journey, but I was guided there with someone named Sheikh Nurdin Durki, peace and blessings be upon him, and a small group of people to write a book on Jerusalem. And I had also been guided to Russian Orthodox and Greek Orthodox, Dominican monasteries on the way. Okay. And I was guided to a very beautiful Mother Superior, and also men who were just totally welcoming. And she really took me in her spiritual arms and helped me really dive deep into the presence of Jesus and his mother, and the one who loved them so much and sent us to them. Mm-hmm. So that was very mystical, and it happened in a very deep way. And then at a certain point, I left there and I went home very briefly. But then I was guided to Jerusalem. And when I was in India, I was guided to a guru named Neem Karoli Baba, that's mm-hmm. the guru of Ramdas, mm-hmm. told me that he and I were one, and that I must walk in the footsteps of Jesus and travel on the path of love. Well, that's just what happened. Mm-hmm. I was guided to monasteries, mystic monasteries, and then I was guided to the Mount of Olives, where he had lived. And the very day that I came to the Mount of Olives, so did my mother superior from the monastery. So the connections were always being reignited and affirmed very much. So she and I went to a retreat on the Mount of Olives with her spiritual father. And it was very beautiful on the Book of Revelation. And we stayed for a week. Then we started going out, my companions and I, to work on the book and talk to people. And it was very, very significant and deep with the interviews. And then one day I was sitting at a very holy place in Jerusalem, and waiting for her, my mother superior, and doing my prayer. And someone came to me and said, "Aren't you Mariam from California?" I said, "Yes." And he said, "My grandfather is waiting for you." So my first sheikh sent his grandson to come get me and tell me I had to go see him and be with him, really. Mm-hmm. Hassan, his grandson was named Hassan al-Sharif, which indicates that he is from the family of the Prophet Muhammad. Peace and blessings be upon him and all the messengers. And so about a week later, we went to we went from Mount of Olives to the place of Abraham. And that is in what we call Hebron or El Khalil. And so that's like, we call it a mazar. It's a place where this father is honored by all. And what I felt the power of it so much that I just felt prostrate when I walked in, you know. Eventually I was kind of lifted up, and I came to realize that Jews, Muslims, and Christians were all praying together behind it, walking in the footsteps of the one father of us all, of all the people. God, of course, is the father of us all, but He had a role to play in the human story. Mm-hmm. And I felt it deeply right there and then. And so we then went to see the Ancient One. He was 135 years old, the Sheikh. Mm-hmm. And he spoke so beautifully. He had planted flowers all. It was a very deep cave, you know, with flowers all growing on all the walls that he had planted, although he was blind.
Wow.
What a beautiful realm it was. And then after he gave the talk that he gave and prayers, the two beautiful men with whom I had come, the holy people, beautiful in that sense, walked out. And I was going out, but someone said to me, one of the disciples said, "The Sheikh is saying you should move in." So I just went and got a few things, came back, and then he just put me on the bed that he used to sleep on, because he wasn't sleeping. And then the dreams were coming, and he was blowing on me, praying, and the visions and dreams came that guided me, you know, ultimately into the light of Islam, the light of peace. So there was one dream that I remember. I don't remember them all. And I was in a cave for 40 days. And a rose came in every day. And then, so the cave was filled with flowers. Then someone came on the 40th day and said, "He's a messenger of the king. The king is asking for my hand in marriage, but I will have to jump off a cliff." And I told the sheikh, and he said, "The message is that you must now pray. The cliff, the jumping off the cliff means bow down, surrender. Surrender, give your life back to God." And that's how the marriage is going to be completed. It wasn't a worldly marriage. It was a spiritual marriage.
Yes.
The very act of prayer that completed the marriage. So, you know, that happened very deeply. And so I began to pray under that circumstance, with that blessing descending, you know. And also it was in the context, in nearness to the shrine of the Prophet Abraham, uniting all, you know, Jews, Christians, and Muslims in one holy house, that really welcomed me that I so absolutely welcome in. A couple of, I'm not sure the timing, but some weeks or months later, I was guided to a mosque called Masjid al-Aqsa, which is on the Temple Mount. And there's also the Dome of the Rock there. So I don't know how I got there because I never knew where I was going. Mm-hmm. I don't know how I got there, but the message said, you got to go. Mm-hmm. Go to that place. I went there and I was walking right through the gate. Some guards stopped me. They said, you can't come in. I said, I have to go pray. And they said, only Muslims can pray here. And I said, I am a Muslim. They said, recite the Quran. I did. I recited what I knew. Mm-hmm. I don't know what I knew. And so they took me to the police station to ask the police chief what to do. Mm-hmm. He jumped out of his chair and he said, that's Mariam. You have to take her to pray. Take her into the mosque to pray. And they did. So I entered that mosque and it was just filled with light. I don't think it was a time of prayer. I didn't see people there, but it was filled with light upon light. So I saw a prayer mat in the middle of a certain place and I went to pray on it. It would be the prayer mat of the imam of the congregation. Well, as time went on, I realized that such a mystery took place in that mosque. And the imam of all the prophets was Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, standing in the front of the congregation, including the messengers of all times, all religions, all the messengers, angels, and the holy ones. So this experience was very deeply impressed in my heart and soul, but I really didn't even know where I had been standing when I was praying there until many years later when I was celebrating the story. It's called Laylatul Isra wal Mi'raj, and that holy night. And at that point, the whole thing came back to me, where I had been, how close I had been, how I had been immersed in that assembly and would always be. Mm-hmm. So that's a real deep part of the message. It's not separation, it's union of all the messengers and the messages they brought. That's what we celebrate continuously. Mm-hmm. And that's that unity is what is needed to heal the world of so much confusion and conflict. Mm-hmm. It's heart to heart, soul to soul, unite in the light of the divine presence.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. We're getting close on time. We have about 3 minutes left, and I don't want to cut it short, but I want everyone to read this book because it's amazing. Do you have a message that you would like to share with the audience or the listeners?
Yes.
Especially today, with what's going on in the world and all the separation, do you have anything, any words of wisdom to share?
Well, first I want you to put my phone number and email address up.
I will.
And post it.
Yes.
You know, because I want everybody to feel absolutely welcome to call or write or come visit. Mm-hmm. Because we are one family. That's
absolutely an
extremely deep message. Let us be united in the light. And also there's another passage from Quran that says, surely with the difficulty comes the ease. This is a really deep message. Mm-hmm. And so when people are struggling with something, they can call you or me and we can reflect back to them the deeper understanding that brings the ease that is like the birth. You know, you have contraction, expansion and birth, and this is the journey we keep going through. But you need to sometimes you need someone embracing you with light and love as you're going through that passage, and you will be able to relax and let it unfold without feeling oppressed or constricted tremendously, you know. So the whole journey of humanity, of mankind at this time, is like the journey that I was on, and all souls have been on, that all the messengers went on that journey. So that's why the book is now called A Journey Through 10,000 Veils. Of course, that's just symbolic. How many veils are there? We can never say. But there's a steady flow of passages that we keep making. And what I would like to say is that I'm here to help anybody and embrace everyone, that to give them the strength to know that they're blessed. And that's another phrase that we say, be blessed, not stressed, distressed, or depressed. So I think we have to erase these words, anxiety, stress, fear, you know, or take an eraser and erase them from your vocabulary.
And come back to love, because that's all there is, right?
Love, faith,
yes,
and inspiration and grace.
Yes.
Peace, blessing, and so on. Any word that you say that brings you back to the divine. And I'm going to say a prayer now to complete this, okay? I want to end with a prayer.
Absolutely.
For us all, for everyone. For everyone. Every life is sacred. There's not me and you. It's one circle that's all encompassing. The one most merciful has created us all in order to serve, worship, and love. Love, worship, and serve together.
Very true.
God willing. So I'm going to just say just a few prayers to complete our gathering.
Here. Love it.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitan nirrajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Ar-Rahmanir Rahim. Maliki Yawmiddin. Iyyaka na'budu wa Iyyaka nasta'in. Ihdina siratal mustaqim. Siratal ladhina an'amta alayhim. Ghayril maghdubi alayhim. Waladhdallin. Amin. Subhanallahi walhamdulillahi. Subhanallahi walhamdulillahi. Wa la ilaha illallah. Wallahu akbar. Wa la hawla wa la quwwata illa billahi. Wa huwa al-aliyyul azim. Subhanallahi walhamdulillahi. Wa la ilaha illallah. Wallahu akbar. Wa la hawla wa la quwwata illa billahi. Wa huwa al-aliyyul azim. Subhanallahi walhamdulillahi. Wa la ilaha illallah. Wallahu akbar. Wa la hawla wa la quwwata illa billahi. Wa huwa al-aliyyul azim. O Allah, purify our hearts and souls and bodies and minds, that we may truly serve you, that we may truly love you, that we may become your true servants, children, and instruments of your grace. Peace and blessings be upon everyone, and may we all unite in your light. Amin. Amin. Ya Rabbil Alameen. Peace and blessings be with everyone.
That was beautiful. Thank you. I'm so very grateful for you taking time to be on the podcast today. Your story is precious. Your heart is just full of love. And I thank you for you just being who you are and sharing yourself with the world.
I say the exact same thing to you. May whatever you're saying to me come back to you, multiplied, multiplied. This is one circle of light that we're sharing.
Yes.
We're working together here. And I'm very grateful that you called me.
Yes.
And I was able to unite with you and all those who are united with you.
Yes.
And love to everyone.
Love to everyone. Thank you so much. Have the most beautiful day. It's time to remember everyone that we are one, that we are connected, and it's time for us to come together and unite in love.
That's right. Amen.
Thank you so much. Have the most beautiful day. I can't wait till we connect again.
Yes. Yes, dear. I feel the same.
Yes. All right. Blessings to you. Sending love.
Yes, dear.
All righty. Bye-bye.
That love with great joy.
Thank you. All right. Bye-bye. Thank you.
Bye, dear.